The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simon Samach Hei, Hilchas Ribbis, Sifchim Chav Beis, Duchav Dalad. Sif Chav Beis. V'davka b'schiris karka mutaloy lahabris b'inyin zeh. Only when it comes to renting real estate are we allowed to increase the price by delaying payment. Now, just to give you a reminder, we learned in Sif Chav Aleph that if a person had a choice, he can offer to rent this real estate for a year, either pay $10 up front at the beginning of the year for the entire year, or you can pay $12 for the whole year, a dollar a month each month. So we said that was allowed, even though normally we said that if you charge more for allowing a delay in payment, that's us, because of ribbis. But we have a rule which says, Ein schius mishtalemis elo b'seif. The true time to pay for any rental is at the end of the rental period. That's the time that the person's supposed to be paying. So the true price in this example is what the price that would be paid had you paid at the end of the rental period. So the option of a dollar a month is $12. That's really the true price. The fact that you're getting an offer to now pay $10 is you're getting a discount for paying early. And as we learned the other day, to get a discount to pay early, that's allowed. So we said if Reuven lends Shimon $1,000 and it's not due for 30 days, and now Shimon wants the money, Reuven wants the money now, he doesn't want to wait the 30 days, Reuven could tell Shimon, you know, if you pay me back $950, we'll call it a day and you won't owe me any more. And we said that that was fine because the lender, in effect, is getting less than he originally lent, and he's discounting the amount that's due to him. He's not charging more for a delay in payment. He's taking less to be paid early. So it's the same thing over here, that since the true time to pay for the rental is at the end of the rental period, and that in that option it would have costed $12, so the fact that you're offering to give $10 to pay up front, that's okay. That's a discount off of the price. So that's allowed when it comes to real estate. Because the real estate is considered as if a kinyan was made on it immediately. So to give the examples, let's say right now we're in November and I want to rent a piece of real estate from this coming January 1st to the following December 31st. So even though it's November, I can make that deal that either it's $10 if you pay me right now in November, and then you will have the land from January 1st to December 31st, or you could start paying me rent January 1st, a dollar a month, and it'll be end up being $12 if you pay on a monthly basis. That's okay, because even though I'm not using the land now, and I don't have title to the rights to the land at this point, my rental won't allow me, the renter, to have acquired the property for use until January 1st, but I could still take the money right now in November up front, because there's a shibud on the karka. The real estate is mashubud to that person comes January, and the real estate is in existence now. Aval, however, lahabas b'schiris poyol asa b'inyin zeh, to increase the price due to a delayed payment when it comes to hiring of a worker, that's us in this fashion. Tahainu, meaning, Shim Seiches Adam Shiasa Loi Malachte La'achazman, if I'm hiring someone to do some work at a later period in time, I'm hiring someone in November that he should do a job for me that's going to begin in January, Umaktim Loi Schar Ayoim Kaidim Shenichlas La'malacha, and I'm going to pay you now in November because of the job that you're going to do in January, and now because I'm paying you in November, you're giving me a better price than you would be giving me in January. I'm getting a discount for that. You're telling me rather than charging me $5,000 for the job, you're only going to charge me $4,000 for the job if I pay in November. That's us. Since the worker is not obligated at this point, it's like a loan. But if the worker will begin his work immediately, which makes a binding kinyan and halacha that he's now mishubit to finish the job, even though he won't finish the work until many days later, but he's starting at the time when I'm getting the discounted price, I'm giving him the discounted payment at the time that the work begins. So I'm allowed to give him the money earlier because he's doing it cheaply. I'm giving him the money earlier so that he should give me a cheaper price. Since he's starting right away to do the work, so then it becomes a rental and not a loan. So we said, since ein schiris mishtalemes alo l'besayif, if the schiris starts, so then we can do that same trick like we did with the real estate. But if the schiris did not begin, or it's not begin in a way that's binding, so then we can't do that trick like we did with the real estate, because it became, right now it's a loan. It only becomes a schiris later on. The only heter is because ein schiris mishtalemes alo l'besayif. So let's say a common example of this in practice is a lot of times people, they go to an orthodontist and they have to get braces for their child, and the orthodontist gives them an option. Well, if you pay up front, it'll be, let's say, $5,000. But if you want to pay on a monthly basis, it's going to be $500 a month for 12 months. It's going to be, say, $6,000. So normally, if you're paying $5,000 now and the work is going to begin next week, then that's certainly a problem, as we described, because you're lending him $5,000 right now and the work is not beginning till next week, so there was no schiris yet, and so you gave him a loan, and the reason why you gave him a loan is because he's giving you the lower price of the two choices. However, if you say, okay, I'll take the $5,000 option and I will pay you on the first visit, and now you start and you take your child for the first visit, and then you give your $5,000 check. That's exactly what we're talking about here, is the way that it's mutter, because ain schiris mishtalemes alo l'besayif. The true price is really, we're going to say, is $6,000, and now you're getting a discount to pay early, but within the period of the schiris starting, and that's mutter. Another issue that comes up with this very frequently is when it comes to summer camps, where a lot of camps, they offer a discount, an early bird discount, if you pay early. So let's discuss a few common scenarios when it comes to that. If the camp says, if you register now and sign that you're coming, then the price is, let's say, $2,000, but if you wait till the summer, till May to register, or June, then the price is going to be $2,500. So if you're not giving any money, you're just signing, that's certainly fine. The only issue is when there's a loan. But if there is no loan, then that's certainly fine. It's just like, I can tell you can buy this pen from me. If you're going to buy it today from me, it's going to be $1. But if you're going to buy it from me next month, it's $5. There's no ribbis there. Ribbis is only when there's a loan. When there's a loan and then you're paying more for a delay, that's when there's ribbis. But over here, there's no loan involved. I'm just telling you the price today is $1, and the price is going to be raised to $5 in a month, and you could choose when you want to buy the item. So that's not a problem as long as there's no loan. The issue only begins if the early bird discount requires you to actually pay some money, and pay the money, that's when we have a loan involved. So if the offer was, if you pay by February, then the charge will be $2,000. But if you don't pay till June, the price will be $3,000. Or if they word it any other way, that means the same thing. Price is $3,000. Take a $1,000 discount if you pay by February. It's the same thing. So that is exactly what we're discussing, is going to be a problem in many instances. Because, again, the work is, when is the work starting? The work is starting in the summertime. And now you're paying in February before the work begins. So now when you're giving money, you're basically giving a loan. So therefore, you need to find one of the heterim. So if the camp owns its real estate premises where the camp is going to be held, which is usually the case with many yeshivas that have a camp that they run on their premises, so then we have a simple answer. We could say in that form that the discount of the $1,000 is attributed to the portion of the camp that's due to the usage of the real estate facilities. So now, since those real estate facilities are owned by the camp, and like we said, that's something that is a kinyan that occurs now by us locking in that fact that we will be able to use the real estate then. So then that discount is allowed because Ein Schiris Mishlemes Elo Basayf, the usage of that real estate is really $3,000. And we're getting a discount by paying early. But since it's there, it already began. So that wouldn't be a problem in a situation where we can attribute, and when it's spelled out that the discount is due to the real estate, and the camp owns the real estate that's being used. However, a very common example is where the camp doesn't own the real estate. The camp themselves are going to be renting the real estate, and their lease does not begin till the end of June or July 1st or whatever it may be. And so now they can't give you a discount on the real estate because they themselves don't have title or any kinyan on that real estate. So therefore, that option with the real estate discount doesn't work. The only other option would be is if the camp is owned and run by the same person. So therefore, and part of that fee is that he's a poyel. The camp director is an employee. If he's the owner and he's working for us, he has the din of an employee. And we said when it comes to an employee, as long as he starts the work or obligates himself halakhically to do the work beginning now, so then we could do the discount now. So what many people do is they'll write on the back of their check that they want to take advantage of the discount. They'll write that if it's a check made out to the person individually, that by him signing the endorsement of this check, he hereby obligates himself with a proper kinyan to supply his services to run the camp and take care of your child for this summer. So in that case, if he's obligating himself with a proper kinyan by signing that and making himself obligated, so then that's as if the schiris is starting now. And if the schiris is starting now at that point, so then, as we said, you're allowed to discount for it. In some Svarim on Hilchos Ribbis, it quotes in the name of Rabbi Yoshev, who says, well, since the camp owners or the playgroup owners, they're starting their work now, even though your child's not getting services, let's say, till the summertime, till the end of June or beginning of July, but all the preparations for the camp are being done in February. So therefore, perhaps you can say that the camp schiris is really beginning because the person's already really working for you because he's already doing all these plans and all these arrangements so that your child will have camping services comes the summertime. However, Yoshev, when asked straight, said no, he never said that, and it's not true, because since you're not having any benefit at this point, your benefit for your child only begins in the summertime. What he's doing now is not for your child's benefit, it's for his own benefit to set up a camp. So therefore, it's not as if the schiris starts right now. The schiris only begins when your child has benefit from it in the summertime. However, if we're going to make a kinyan, then which obligates the worker on a personal basis, so then that would be something that would work within our example. One last scenario with the camps, which is common, is where they tell you if you register now, before February, let's say, so then the price, instead of being $3,000, will be $2,000, but you have to sign and send a $150 deposit or registration fee. So in such a case, even though you're giving money now, but your $150 is not such a big loan. We're not saying you're getting $1,000 off because you're lending them $150. That doesn't make any sense. It's clear in such a scenario that the reason why you're getting a discount is because you're obligating yourself to come, and the fact that you're giving $150 that you're going to lose if you don't show, that means that you're really serious and you really mean on coming, and you're not going to back out and change your mind. So in such that case also, that's also allowed because, again, we can't attribute the fact that you're getting a discount due to the loan. That's the issue that we're worried about. Sif Chav Gimel. Mutar l'habayis b'nedunyas chasonim. You're allowed to increase the dowry that you give to your future son-in-law. Kagoin, for example, shapasak nedunya l'bitoy, you set a certain amount that you're going to give as a dowry to your daughter. The hisnim chasno, and you made, at the time of this agreement, you made an agreement with your son-in-law, shakol shona shiyaniach etzleis hanedunya, that every year that you hold on to the father-in-law, hold on to the dowry and don't pay that money yet, yitin lo kach v'kach schar, you're going to give him a certain additional amount, meaning, let's say, he tells his son-in-law, I'm going to give you a dowry of $50,000, and every year that I delay in paying it, I will give you an extra $5,000. So if it takes me a year to give you the money, I'm going to give you $55,000 instead of $50,000. Mutter, that's allowed. Why? We said that if you're paying more by paying later, that's ribbis. So how can you say if you pay $50,000 today, that's all that you have to pay? But if you're going to take a year to pay, then you're going to give $55,000. You're paying $5,000 more for that delay of a year. What's the reason? Because in this case, when you're giving a gift, it's just like you're giving an additional gift of $5,000. Ke'ilu amalai, it's like you said to him, I'm going to give you a gift at a certain date in the future of X amount. And if I'm not going to give you that gift at such and such a date, I'm going to give you even more, a bigger gift, if I don't give that gift at that date. The mutter, that's allowed. This, that you're allowed to give more if you make a delay, that's only if you included that stipulation at the time when you're obligating yourselves, when they're writing the tanoim. The kivan dad ata lahayol of shum chiyuv, says, because since prior to that you didn't have any chiyuv to give him anything, imkain, if so, hakol hu chiyuv echad. So this is all one obligation. The obligation of giving 50,000 today, or 55,000 if I give it to you a year from then, or 60,000 if I give it 2 years from then. This is all one complete unit of a gift, and I'm saying I'm going to give you this gift of either X dollars at this time, Y dollars at that time, or Z dollars at that time. However, if at the time of writing the Tanoim you were mechayiv yourself, you obligate yourself to a certain amount, you mechayiv yourself, let's say, to $50,000. Now, when it comes to the chasana time, usually they used to sign the Tanoim earlier, and there was a delay to the chasana. So now at the chasana, you realize that you're not going to be able to make that payment in time for the chasana, the $50,000. So right simply spasha losis lay dava ma bishvila chavizman. So now you want to give the chasan something to allow you to pay a year from now. Asa. So that's asa. Tzrichim lasa is bedachata. You have to do it in a way that's mutter, which we'll discuss when we come to the hilchas lachas of aheta iska. So again, if you obligate yourself and that obligation is sealed, and now you want to delay paying that obligation, you cannot pay additional in order to get a delay in time. However, if you're making the stipulation at the time of the obligation, and you're saying, well, if I pay you $50,000 at the time of the wedding, or I'll pay you $55,000 a year after the wedding, or $60,000 2 years after the wedding, whatever it may be, that's allowed because it's all as part of one gift. It's not like you had an obligation, and now you're paying to get a delay in that obligation. Sivchav Dalid. Yisrael shalava me'er eino Yisrael beribis. If a yid borrowed from a nachri with ribis, which he's allowed to do, v'yisrael acha yir arev, and now another yid is going to be the guarantor for that loan. Imhu be'inyan she'en ha'eino Yehudi yachal litzvaya tchila ala es ha'loiva, if the guarantee is structured in such a way that the Nachri can only look and demand the money from the borrower, ואח כשלא יהיה אפשר לגבייס מן הלויבה, אז יוכל לתבור מן הערב. And then, if he cannot get the money from the borrower, he's exhausted all his ability to get the money from the borrower, so then he's allowed to turn to the guarantor. Mutter, that's allowed. Aval, however, however, if the structure of the guarantee is such that the Nachri can go straight to the guarantor if he wishes, which is usually, let's say, they called a co-borrower in a lot of the documentation used today, where the lender has the right to go to either party officially. So then, Chazal looked at it as if the guarantor is the one who's borrowing from the Nachri. The Hilvul Yisrael, now that guarantor is like lending the money to the Yid who's the borrower. Halayva, the Asa, and that would be Asa. V'chein Einu Yehudi Shalavim Yisrael B'Ribbis, and same thing, a Nachri that borrows from a Yid with Ribbis. A Yid lent a Nachri money with interest. That's certainly not a problem. V'Yisrael Acheru Arev, however, the Nachri had to bring a guarantor, and he has another Yid as the guarantor. That's also the exact same problem that we're discussing. If the structure is such that the lender may not go to the Yid first, but he must go to the Nachri, Haloiva, the borrower, and if he cannot find or get the money out of the Nachri, who's the borrower, then he'll go to the Yid to get the money, Mutter. Then that's Mutter. But if the structure is such that the lender has the right to go straight to the guarantor, to the other Yid, so then the guarantor is as if he's a borrower too, the Asar. And that would be Asar, because then it's like one Yid is lending the other Yid money with Ribbis. However, if the Yid is a guarantor just for the principal, but he's not guaranteeing the interest, mutter. So a person can always guarantee either the principal, and actually in halacha you could even guarantee only the interest but not the principal. Either way is fine. The problem is when there's a guarantee of principal and interest, and there's a yid who's involved somehow, and the fact is that the lender doesn't have to exhaust the pursuit of the lender, of the borrower, and has the right to go to the guarantor before the end, pursuing the borrower to the end. But then Yisrael, Shalavim Yisrael, Yisrael Achiyah Arev, if one Yid borrowed from another Yid, and there's a third Yid who's the guarantor, V'aloiva Mesham Loyavarzeh, and the borrower who has to bring a guarantor, even though there's no ribbis, but he's going to pay a guarantor to be the guarantor. So, Shataz Vashachman, the Kudusa Kasif Makilin, the Ar Makilin, Hineidasa Chavazdas Lahachmir, Ayn Sham. But the Chavazdas is Machmir. So, if you're paying someone to guarantee a loan for you, even if it's interest free, that's something which is disputed. However, the main point in this sif is that even though the one side, the borrower, the lender, is a Nachri, and normally you would think, well, that has nothing to do with Ribbis, if there is a guarantor who's a Jew, and he's guaranteeing principal and interest. So that's when we have a problem with Ribbis, if the guarantor can be pursued before the lender is completely, pursuit of him is completely exhausted. Now, how much do they have to pursue the lender and what the requirement is before they go, the borrower, how much do they have to pursue the borrower and what the requirement is before they then decide to go to the guarantor? That's something of dispute in our days. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole system of what has to be done. And if that's exhausted, so then the guarantor can go to be gone to. However, most businesses don't take that level of pursuit till the end. They just do some minor pursuit sometimes, and then they go whoever's the biggest fish, and they'll go after the guarantor, even if they didn't finish pursuing the lender entirely. And that's something which is of dispute. If a person has such a situation, should speak to Paisik and Achaz Ribbis. Kol Tov.